These are the words that I have on the website. Quote, before the fall of the human race, it happened. It was a spiritual war on God, thus all that did and would ever exist. This raging war was set against and plotted. It was coming our way, an insurrection that transmuted the once anointed cherub and brought down all who embraced its will. It infects all of us and all that is done. It's the invisible activity that shapes politics, builds armies, and sets humanity on the quest for bloodshed and even godhood. Going on in the quote, website shatterthedarkness.net, being blind to this spiritual war only opens one to being deceived and destroyed by it. Being blind to this spiritual war only opens one to being deceived and destroyed by it. It was spiritual revelation that built the Nazi ideology. That spiritual deception brought about enormous historic destruction. Behind the scenes, critical mass, spiritual warfare, that's the theme for this week. Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar, Monday night. Well, May the 30th, 2011, and this week, the mini-cast is up already, about 13 minutes, to give you an overview of the whole week. There are PDF file study notes for the week, if you like the outline notes for the week, Monday night. Spiritual warfare, the forces behind human history, past, present, future. Now, this is vital for us to understand, and I want to just say, as we join in tonight, for all those who are brand new listening, listen, this is shatterthedarkness.net on the website. Shatterthedarkness.net, that is where you're going to find the main website, where you can click in to get the media players Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This week, critical mass, spiritual warfare, the front lines of past, present, and future history. That's right. What occurred in the past, what's going on right now, and what's about to happen in the near and future history, and what will bring about the end of this fallen world history that we live in. Now, it has its backdrop as a spiritual battle, that there is something raging behind the scenes that captivates minds and hearts and lives, and well, we're infected. You are. Yes, you are. And I am. And listen, you're either on one side of the fence or the other when it comes to inside of you, there is either the sin code, Satan's rights, a separation from God, or you have come to Christ. And a new nature and a new power, and you've been set free. You've been opened up. But that means, let me say it this way, it took the cross, and that was probably, in fallen human history, the most powerful event God has displayed in all of history that included the sum total of all humanity, past, present, and future. What Jesus did on that cross was for the sum total. In the Greek, it's pos anthropos, all humanity. Now, that's a vital issue. Vital to understand when it comes to this trail of tears we're in. Now, I don't know about your background or how you've lived your life, how you see history as a whole. We see the blood and guts of history. We see the wars and the bloodshed and the divisions of humanity. We see the racism, the injustice, the betrayals. We see living and dying. We see vanity. We see existentialism, nihilism. We see deism and atheism and those who are agnostic. We see systems of belief that people are questing for. And in this day and hour, whether it's angelology or alienology or Luciferianism, 2012ism, New Ageism, whatever it may be, all of that has spiritual backdrop. So does heaven and hell come into the equation? God and Satan? Spiritual warfare this week, and the reason I bring it up as critical mass, now again, from my perspective, both in biblical revelation and in experience of 37 years, on the field, the ramping up of spiritual warfare from the dark side is unprecedented, And from biblical revelation, what is about to occur is off the charts. Now, to the believer in Christ, let me say it this way. It's not as though God hasn't already given us everything we need. Everything. Now, let me emphasize that. And I mean everything. The salvation in Christ. Well, you look at the armor of God and you see truth and righteousness. You see the peace that comes from the gospel. You see the readiness that is supplied in our walk when we have that peace with God. You see the helmet of salvation. You see the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now, you're looking at the armor of God, and that is just some of the plain, simple teaching of the Scripture. To the believer, you remember Peter and the disciples in the early days, the Lord's Supper. Jesus looks up at them and says, he uses in the Greek plural in reference to all of them. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you guys. But I have prayed for all of you guys that your faith would not fall. And when you've returned, go strengthen your brethren. I mean, here is now God in human flesh engaged. They had no clue of the satanic force that Satan himself, a fallen cherub, was in the room asking to tear them to pieces. Pretty amazing, isn't it? That's the security, the confidence a believer in Christ can have. Even when you don't know what's going on, even when you don't see all things and feel all things and discern all things, the Savior that loves you is pledged to protect you. We read that in John's Gospel 17. We read that clearly, definitively in 1 John chapter 5, that the Lord Jesus, our Savior, is going to protect us from the evil one. And there the revelation is the evil one is in control of the whole fallen world system that opposes God. So let me tell you something. From birth to death, there is spiritual battle. From your development and whatever your background is right now, wherever you are, it is a spiritual conflict. And we're going to go to the issues of today on the notes anyway, the ground zero issue, the reasons why I'm bringing out spiritual warfare as a critical mass issue, and then five evidences of spiritual warfare, five evidences of spiritual warfare that I think are vital for us to understand, vital for us to know, and I think would be tremendously helpful to all of us. Now, when I go through this on Tuesday night, we're going to deal with three primary aspects where that spiritual war is waged. I'm going to say the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world in reference to cosmos, the fallen world system. Take a quick read of James chapter 4. Take a quick read of 1 John chapter 2. As God speaks about the world in that context, the fallen world system that is in direct opposition to God. So the world can manifest that hostility towards God. We'll deal with that on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, the flesh, the sin nature, the DNA, the genetics, what is in fallen humanity, why we die, why there is hostility towards God, or I don't know if God exists, and all kinds of searches and everything else, and what the cross is all about, and how that brings effect, how salvation, what salvation does as far as effect when Christ comes in our lives. Now on Thursday night, we're going to deal with the devil directly and spiritual warfare when it comes to direct battle. Friday night, we're going to talk about radical evil, and we're going to give, again, the agenda. Because spiritual warfare will ramp up beyond anything, and I'm going to say it again, beyond anything in human history. This is what biblical prophetic insight gives us. Cutting edge, heads up, before happens, information. Jesus did this to the disciples a number of times. He tells them ahead of time what's about to come. So that's what prophetic revelation does. Not only what God is going to do, what future mankind is going to do, but literally this is the only content where we can find that is the Word of God, what Satan is going to do in the world. So regardless of your background, political, military, philosophical, maybe you're a New Ager, a psychic, maybe you're a seeker, a searcher, maybe you're Luciferian and you're checking everything out, and you're wondering what we do know about spiritual warfare. I'll never forget a powerful chosen one, a deep brotherhood Satanist, jumped out of the car, the law enforcement car. An agent brought a person down to me, and they literally, I don't want to say yelled, but raised their voice and said to me, "What have you been doing all this week? You've been doing your spiritual warfare?" And I knew what it was all about, and I smiled, and I said, "Why?" And this individual said, "Well, for the last 3 weeks, we could hardly even conjure a spirit, a demon." See, prior to that, I had engaged this person. We had been engaging this person. We had been getting headaches and fatigued, and all the staff members. Well, we realized it was warfare, but we did not realize until God made things known, and this is now, well, 20 years ago, that on the inside of this person, a chosen one, there were sub-personalities highly trained in spiritual warfare, sending out demonic powers, being kind of a demonized psi warrior. When we realized that, we began to inwardly, you know, respond and pray as we're run. All of a sudden, we began to feel shielded. And then God brought me to Timothy chapter 2, where the command is by priority, first of all, and with urgency, that prayer and intercession and so forth should be done. Now, that is the number one activity, literally, as the church gathers, massive intercession, and I would say that includes warfare prayer, should be active and released, and that kind of praying should be engaged. Very similar to Acts chapter 4. Most churches are having around 38 to 58 seconds worth of total prayer on a Sunday morning, which is evidence of the anemic, weak powerlessness. And that's a caricature of the church. You want to see what the church was like? Go back to Acts chapter 4. Notice the power of God. Notice what happens in Acts chapter 5 when immediate spiritual warfare, Satan himself, in the attempt to fill, get into the lives of others and infiltrate the church to bring corruption and harm. But look what happens. Well, that's what we're going to talk about all of this week. And we're going to give the weapons of our warfare again and again and again to believers in Christ. And let me say this up front to those who do not yet know God. And you've got to understand that the passion behind the voice is simply God's love for you. And God seeks you. God pursues you. And I will be unashamed in telling you that awesome God loves you, knows you by name, knows all about your life. And God and God alone not only provided for you at the cross, but no one wants you more than God. This week, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast, critical mass spiritual warfare, front lines of the past, present, and the future. Let me mention quickly, too, just for some notes. On Wednesday night, the June the 1st, late night, we have a second live radio program called The Ragged Edge Show. And we're going to deal with Victoria, British Columbia, and the deep Satanism, and why it's considered the second capital of Satanism in the world by some. We're going to have call-in guests. You can call in. There's chat rooms and so forth. The week after that, on late night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to deal with this kind of Satanism and ritual abuse and the developments in England. The week after that, Russia. The week after that, Belgium. And we're going to deal with the Mothers of Darkness Castle. So as we join in today, let me say again, welcome to all that are listening. Welcome by satellite, welcome by internet radio, and welcome to all those who download around the world. Welcome in Russia, welcome in China, welcome in Australia, welcome to those of you in England, Scotland, Ireland, Canada, Well, I see down in Brazil, I see down in South Africa, I see in India, I see in, well, all over the world, 90 countries or so. I want to say that we love you. We pray that this hour will be supernatural. Now, I simply ask that God will save, God will heal, and God will deliver individuals in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name that I've called on 37 years ago. That's who I know personally in my life. He is God, He is Savior, He is friend, and He's coming again. Well, if you looked at the website lately, there's a future Congress coming up in July, and we hope that you're going to be there. Chuck Missler's going to be there. Tom Horn's going to be there. A whole host of teachers and so forth. Some say there may be up to 800 folks there. That's how they're limiting it anyway, and one of the largest conferences of this kind. So we kind of hope that you're going to come to that and check it out. The PDF file notes, three specific things, ground zero is evidence, spiritual warfare and critical mass, and five evidences. Let's begin with point A, the ground zero. Now, this deals with the fall of the human race. Listen, regardless of your background, regardless of where you're at, I've lived long enough now into my 50s. I know what it is to be on the other side of the fence, to be lost and searching and looking and finding meaning and why we're here, where we came from, where we're going, the fear of death, the fear of hell, the issue of heaven, how to get there. I believed in childhood on up there was a God out there. I didn't know how to get there. But I know that so many are still in that category. They're searching, they're seeking, they're grabbing what I would say would be the counterfeit spiritual alternative that a very dark, dark, ominous, lethal presence wants to give to humanity. Now, I can tell you that this whole series on spiritual warfare involves the fact that in the heavenlies, a great spiritual war broke out. Now, Ezekiel 28, you can go back and read that. You can see where there's this anointed cherub, but he willed. There was a violent, deep choice until wickedness. Now, that word has the idea of a massive commitment, a willed, a violent choice to oppose God. Ultimately, even as we read in Isaiah, the five I wills, to get rid of God, to replace God. So it all begins out there, but then soon comes our way. Look at the human race. Let me say this on the outset. We were created in majesty. We could see God, walk with God, created as eternal beings. And it was perfect. It was awesome. But something has happened. Now that's the issue of ground zero, the fall of the human race. That's the issue, that spiritual war. Now, I want all the theologians out there to hear me when I say this. We need to understand that the fall of the human race did not occur on its own. From the outside, this spiritual entity with its presence and seduction. As a matter of fact, if you circle Genesis chapter 3 and read that engagement, you can then travel into the New Testament. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where as the Spirit of God leads the Apostle Paul, he's concerned about new believers in Christ, that they too, by the same spiritual entity that engaged Eve in the beginning, that engaged humanity in the beginning, it tells us that he hasn't changed. It tells us his methodology, his deception, his cunning. And so there's this incredible connection, though thousands of years separate the event of the fall of the human race and the instruction or the urgent heads up that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is giving there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in dealing with spiritual warfare and the conflict that believers are going through. So you might be a believer that has gone through conflict. You might be an individual that you just don't know what's going on in the world. And maybe you've gotten into some spirituality, some stuff, and it hasn't led you to God. Now, that's one issue I'll continue to say all week long. The dark side, even when masqueraded like light or trying to counterfeit that which God does and says, never, the evidence of the issue is this. What comes from God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, always leads you and seeks to bring you into relationship with God, to unveil God, to reveal Christ, to reveal salvation, to bring you into relationship. God's all about bringing you into direct relationship so that you can know experientially God and know that you know God and begin a development and a walk with God. Whereas the other side, even when it's counterfeited, even when there's counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, experiences, whatever else it might be, if it's not the Spirit of God, if it's not God, and instead dark spirits counterfeiting, the very key issue is this. They never lead you to God. Their goal is to constantly preoccupy, distract, and keep you from God. Now, that's a big issue. Believers in Christ should understand that prophecy tells us, and it's occurring now, it'll get broader, but counterfeit. They look like God's signs, wonders, and miracles. I mean, the very things Jesus did, the signs, wonders, and miracles that Jesus did, the prophecies and all kinds of spiritual, supernatural things will be counterfeited. They will, and they're meant to be similar or to look like the real thing that comes from God. Now, that's the issue. The most sweeping, pervasive deception, seduction in human history is on the ground right now and will grow to a level that is that will bring the manifestation of this dark side so deep into politics, so deep into the military system, so deep that it controls the globe and leads humanity to Armageddon. That's what's around the corner. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, listen, not only as a believer in Christ, it's not about just saying, well, you got to learn about it. You're in it whether you know anything about it or not. Can I say it again? You are in it. Listen, even if you say, I'm not a believer in Christ, I don't know if I'm going to become one. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're in spiritual war. There is someone that has come to give their life to break the powers of darkness. God pursues you and seeks you. On the other side, the Bible is clear about this, and I've seen it in experience. Satan seeks to blind you, steal anything from the Word of God given to you to try to lead you to Christ, and to keep you lost, blinded, and hellbound. So what do you do in the middle? What do you do if you're a new believer in Christ and, you know, maybe there's fear? Maybe, and listen, fear is a big issue when it comes to all of this. And we'll get to that as we give the evidences, but let me tell you this. On the ground level, or ground zero evidence. Now, back at 9/11, many people around the world know the event of 9/11. Many of you watched and saw on television live that day like I did. Many of you saw it later. And you saw the wreckage. You saw the damage. You saw all that occurred. I'm just simply saying at ground zero, I mean, the bodies, the lives, the people, the destruction that occurred. This is what we need to understand when it comes to the concurrent moment when humanity spit in the face of God, rejected the counsel of God, rejected the Word of God, exchanged it, and accepted the word of the fallen cherub, small g, God of this world. Actually, he was the fallen cherub. He was Satanas. As he enters in to bring the temptation to humanity, God clearly gives us a shield, a protection. This is why the Word of God and every verse is so vital. God gave one verse. The sum total of one verse of Scripture explaining that they're not to take of the tree. That if they would, they would die. So God gave his word. But someone came with seduction, and the energy flowed, and the power flowed, and you can read about it in Genesis 3. Eve saw that it was good. There was an emotion. There was something there on a level that invoked delight and energy, the deception. It went on long enough The devil was entertained long enough that more and more of the force of what he was saying was engaged. At the moment the humanity, we as humanity, the moment that the choice to exchange the glory of God for created things, to exchange the truth of God, take a read of Romans chapter 1 and see the spiraling effect. Once God was thrust out and the knowledge of God was literally purposely suppressed by our wickedness. Now, we made the choice. Something happened on the inside immediately. This thing called death. The entrance of the sin code of nature. I'll deal heavily with this Wednesday night. This entrance of the sin code came to us. This propelling, driving hostility then and fear of and running away from God. Now you can see the explanation of that in Romans chapter 8. But the death code, all of a sudden death comes in. Later on we read in the revelation of God, Romans, that the wages of sin is death. God said that would happen. There was an instantaneous removal of the presence of the Spirit of God in humanity's being. There is an exchange. Now, I believe that even the DNA, the genetics, we were body, soul, and spirit corrupted. Instantly separated from God. But another presence, an abnormal force, came into humanity's construct. Death was there, beginning to operate. A psychological breach because of the spiritual breach. And this would lead to the sociological, ecological, economic, every kind of fracture and brokenness came in, but from that one concurrent moment. It's kind of like what I read years ago. I was reading a story about the fall of the human race as one individual was sharing that it's kind of like Mount St. Helens. Eventually, when that erupted, all of a sudden, there was a center. It erupted and then outward for miles and miles and miles after it was all said and done. All those trees. I mean, it was like burnt match sticks all over the place. The ground was charred. Everything was charred and burned and everything was changed. That's why I use the word transmuted when it comes to the change that occurred. It is wickedness, or as we read in Ezekiel 28, the fallen cherub chose by act of will a wicked, violent choice to move away from God. But that resulted in the desecration or disintegration of his sanctuaries. Again, Ezekiel chapter 28. This means that he became totally changed. Transmuted means that we've been changed from the original, mutated from the original. Originally, he was the anointed cherub. You can read about that, what he was originally. You can read about humanity, what we were originally. Eternal beings, in relationship to God, in fellowship, joy, in harmony, all of it was there. So many things that we wish we had now is in our ancient past, what we were prior to the fall. At that concurrent moment, we call it the fall of the human race. Well, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Greek word hamartia simply means that we have missed the mark. We sinned and gone off center. Now, there's other Greek words, there's other Hebrew words that refer to sin as a violent thing, a wicked thing, a very deeply willed thing. But the results are that changes, actual change. Now, that's a spiritual war that occurred there in the garden. It came to us. God gave us the victorious defense. Actually, I think it was an offensive word of God to preserve the totality of humanity. But instead, and here we are, you can read in Romans chapter 5, for by one man's sin, death entered the world. And death passed to all because all, including you and me, sinned. Regardless of how you look at it, you've got in your physical body this death code. It's there. If you're a believer in Christ, now deposited in you is the gift of eternal life. That's why Jesus could say these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live." And he's talking about indestructible, irreversible immortality and seeing God face to face, the coming glorification. Again, what Christ did on the cross, what he did there has the power to change everything. To forgive, to heal, to deliver us, to free us, to bring to us his literal living presence, his power, and a deposit within our very being, guaranteeing what is to come. You ever read Ephesians chapter 1? You ever read where it talks about having believed we are marked in Christ by the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit, the guarantee of what is to come? If you're born again of the Spirit of God, not only does the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, live in you to bring you, the inseparable living presence of Jesus Christ, the joy of the Lord, our ability to worship and to walk with God and power to do his will. But it involves a witness within. Romans 8 says, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. We have the spirit of adoption where we cry out, Abba, Father, intimate, unbroken, unceasing, personal fellowship, friendship with God, a relationship. But that same Spirit of God that witnesses on the inside that we are a child of God is the same one who witnesses what the Word of God in 1 John 5 says. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know that you have eternal life. If you're born in the Spirit of God, there is so much to the gift of salvation. It's taken pages and pages of God's revelation throughout the rest of the New Testament to tell us what we have in Christ. In Ephesians 1, it begins with, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. I mean, all the promises of God are now yes to us in Christ. Everything is now ours. Jesus tells us in the gospel that it's the good pleasure of the Father to give to us. In, again, because of our relationship with him and in him, you know, the kingdom. But this doesn't negate what occurred, the fall of the human race. I mean, we deal with Cain killing Abel, the first slaughter, murder in history, where sin was crouching at the door, you know, wanting to completely take over Cain's life. Sin as an operating force begins to be shown, and as humanity begins to develop in the past, not only do we have this inward spiritual war, that this presence inside humanity that is now hostile to God, doesn't want to do what God says, and literally it takes away the ability. Outside of Christ and salvation, we don't even have the ability to do it. Again, you check out the revelation of God in Romans 8. Now, from the beginning on down, we find, now we can go into the book of Genesis, and the big story eventually is the flood. But the flood wasn't just the issue. It was the fallen angels, the Bani Ha-Elohim. They came down. They began to take the daughters of men. Nephilim were formed. Genesis 6 tells us this. We see that the world became so corrupted, so evil, so transmuted, so changed from the original due to the sin issue, the corruption issue. Because the deeper, listen, the more you go into sin, the more corrupted and the more the original is literally destroyed, marred completely. So you can look at the spiral effect that Romans chapter 1 verse 18 talks about. And you can see that it goes, you know, the capacity for humanity to, racism and killing and rape and cheating and violence and war and bloodshed and all of that, since the fall, it's never stopped. Never stopped. Because in the heart of mankind is this corruption, a sin code. It's in the DNA. It's in the genetics. It's in our lives. It's in our being. That's why, again, I'm going to tell you that the cross is not just God's romantic wave to us saying that I love you. This is what I'm doing for you. What happened to the cross brings an actual physiological, biological, well, eventually an eternal issue, an effect. Salvation brings an effect into our lives. Actually, the sin code is broken. The death code linked to Satan is broken. Satan's rights over a human being is broken when Christ comes in, and a new power. Now, we'll really go over that on Wednesday Night Live. But right now, the ground zero, the effects, even creation itself, even the created order is deeply affected by the sin that has entered in humanity and Satan's rights of coming in and being the God of this world. I mean, it's one thing to say we sinned, we did wrong, we're corrupted, and we messed it up. That's true. And you read Romans 8, you're going to find out that creation groans. That's the idea of, you know, it's almost as though creation is sentient. And it is in decay. It is in bondage because of sin and this fall and this radical evil. Actually, creation is waiting for the coming redemption, the glorification of all those who've come to Christ, and a new heaven and a new earth is coming. It's as though creation itself knows the pain of this fall, as it is also infected, but it knows that a new day is coming. A glorification for redeemed humanity, and a new heaven and a new earth, well, by the hands of God. Because of the cross, even creation, there's going to be an absolute redemption. Heavenlies and the new earth coming. Now, that's a study in itself. We don't have time tonight. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's because of spiritual battle, spiritual war. A spiritual engagement occurred there. And we didn't just look at God and sin. We listened to a liar. We believed the words of a liar. And we received in ourselves what that liar is all about. I think 1 John 3 teaches that the devil's been sinning from the beginning. Anybody that sins is like him. I mean, we need to understand Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, of course, the spirit who is now operative in those who are disobedient. If you're lost, it doesn't make any difference. You can deny it, but Satan has rights to influence your life because of the platform of that sin code operative in you. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, though Satan brings warfare against you, the truth is, now you have a new nature. Once you realize Romans 6, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Why? Because you are now in Christ. You have a new power, a new life, a new relationship, a new standing, a new position, a new destiny. And the more you come to know all the things you have in Christ, well, you'll be able to grow in great power, be consistent, become stronger, go from strength to strength. And may God lead you and bless you in that today. Growing up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, grow up in your salvation. In the knowledge of God. Well, it doesn't change the fact that the history has been marred. I mean, the flood. Why the flood? Well, to destroy radical evil, to destroy the destruction of humanity, to destroy the altering of humanity, the Nephilim, to save and preserve humanity for the future act of the cross and the redemption of hundreds of millions and millions just like you. The flood was to save humanity then, preserve it for what was going to occur in the future. And it is my opinion that the reason for the Nephilim on the earth was to bring a mutation to humanity. Maybe even, to, as some say, to wipe out humanity. I mean, there was very few actual pure humans left. Noah and his. And so God saved the human race from a spiritual war. A spiritual mutation. Oh, it's wickedness. but a change of actual core nature. Now, as Israel is developed in the Old Testament, as Israel begins to get the revelation of God, the picture of the coming of salvation, the prophecies of the coming of Messiah, the development of the law of God, and it is spiritual and it is good, and all that God begins to do in a progressive development and a progressive revelation, even the names of God in the Old Testament, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Jehovah Jireh, or to say Yahweh or Yahweh Adonai. The names collectively, each brings an aspect of the nature and function of God. You can say Yahweh, self-existent, always existent God. Okay. God, yes. But as we read in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah had that vision, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. And he cries out, you know, hears the seraph. He hears the cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, is, and is to come. And then the phrase there, Yahweh Adonai, who he saw was the pre-incarnate Christ. You've got to understand the stepping into fallen, broken humanity, where Satan was given the rights. As a matter of fact, the moment that we chose to believe the liar, chose Satan over God. Well, the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is considered the god of this age, this time period. Small g, of course. That he has rights. As a matter of fact, 1 John chapter 5 tells us that he's called the evil one and that he is in control of the whole fallen world system. That includes his use of political ideologies and governments and military and religions and everything else that he helps spawn that has in it no leading to God, but leading away from, and a stronger development of hostility towards God. So if you want to understand that the fall of humanity brings, separation from God, death in the human experiences, the possibility of hell, the possibility of separation from God forever and ever and ever. We did this. God did not. We spit in the face of God. We threw his word to the ground. We embraced the liar. We trusted a promise of an evolution to godhood and secret knowledge that was promised right there. In Genesis 3, you and I have sinned, you and I have, and I know that. And that core issue is separation from God, and then there's sins upon sins upon sins, and the things that we've done, and the sin addictions that we get into. Sin is all about slavery, and it'll ultimately lead to death and eternal separation from God. Now, breaking into all this is the fact that God is bringing redemption. Instantly, Genesis 3, God's already proclaiming Christ, the coming of a Savior. And he does this in, and you check out, I don't have time right now to give you a deeper picture of this, but Genesis 3:15, that's the first prophecy about the coming battle between God and Christ, the Messiah, and Satan, about the bruising of the heel and the crushing of the head of Satan. So here's this picture, and there's this warfare that's gonna be going on. We find Satan active, fighting against Israel, fighting against David. We find this all the way through the Old Testament. The Moabite king knows how to do blood sacrifice to get demons to come on his soldiers to fight Israel. Manasseh is sacrificing his own son there in 2 Kings 22:23, and leading all of Jerusalem and all of the city of God into deep spiritual darkness. Ezekiel chapter 8 shows the hidden serpent worship, direct worship of Satan deep into the caverns. God had to show the prophet where it was. So all along, there's massive spiritual, and all the neighboring nations that dealt with Israel always wanted to destroy Israel. It's because of their demon worship, their infestation of demonic presence, if not Nephilim. They came again later, you know. And Israel had to deal with that again and again. Now, the purity of the prophecies of the coming Messiah, Emmanuel, God literally coming in human flesh, well, 700 years in advance in Isaiah, Psalm 16, 1,000 years in advance, the resurrection of Christ. All this massive communication, 300 or more prophecies direct of the Messiah, of God coming in redemption, the cross. So then we move to the New Testament. You realize that those prophecies are part of spiritual warfare. All the prophecies that talk about a virgin being with child, Bethlehem, and Christ coming, Satan knew about it. As a matter of fact, if you read Revelation chapter 12, you'll get a key insight there. Satan, referred to there as the great red dragon, this great manifest broad presence that seeks to lead the whole world astray. He's got globalism on his agenda. But it shows us quickly there that he was there waiting for the Christ child to be born, to preempt, to be there ahead of time. He knew by prophecy what God was going to do, and he was waiting for the event. And he was there to destroy, to kill the Christ child. I mean, take a look at Matthew 4:4 when Satan takes Jesus off to engage him in the most incredible temptation. Trying to get God in human flesh, the Son of God, to defect and come over. He's doing the same thing he did in the beginning. Jesus representing humanity now as the last Adam. He's God in human flesh, but he's also pure human. You've got to understand the incarnation is fully God, fully man. Fully representing God, fully representing mankind. You've got to understand that as Jesus goes to the cross, he goes to the cross absolutely sinless, meaning absolutely victorious. He never gave in to the dark side. He says in the Gospels, you and I know this, that Satan is a liar, that when he speaks these lies, he's speaking his native, his very nature's, this is the very core. If you want to call it the DNA, the genetics of Satan himself is so completely blackened, so transmuted, Jesus said there's no truth remaining in him. There's nothing in him. He is completely altered because of his willed sin, his wickedness. The deeper anyone goes into sin, the more they're altered, the darker they become. And the humanity becoming, well, look at Hitler, look at Charles Manson, look at what some people do to other people, look at Cain. Because of the sin nature, driven. And he not only slaughters his brother and then buries him, tries to hide him. Ground zero, the fall of the human race. Out from that, everything has been altered, is still altered. I mean, the world that you and I live in right now today, it's not what God intended. It's abnormal, broken, fractured. It's why it's crazy. It's why so many people go crazy. It's why there's pain and hurt and crying out. It's why there's victimization and woundedness. And that's why God enters in. God so loves the world. The coming of Jesus Christ is an act of spiritual warfare. I mean, if you read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, you know what it says? The reason the Son of God appeared, manifested, was to destroy the devil's works. You realize he came to do that? In the coming of Jesus Christ, that is God in human flesh, he has come to represent humanity. He has come to fight for humanity, save humanity, heal humanity, deliver humanity, provide by the work of the cross a way back to God and a way back to indestructible, irreversible immortality and our ability to see God face to face and walk with God in the future. Jesus came to destroy Satan's works. And so you're going to find in the Gospels, you know, you can take the Gospel of Mark, the very first chapter, Jesus unleashes salvation number one first, healing of bodies, but then deliverance instantly he's engaged with demons inside of humanity. Instantly, you know, we find that as he, well, and this is after the temptation by Satan out in the wilderness for 40 days. Satan loses, but is looking for a more opportune time. He shows up again and again. He shows up about 3 years later after the beginning of the ministry of Jesus into the Lord's Supper, as they call it, where the early disciples that would be those born of the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to unleash the church. Well, Satan was there to stop that. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not, well, withstand, prevail. It's going to fight the church, but the church will be the body of Christ, the ecclesia, will be stronger because of its divine origin, because of Christ and of his name, his authority, his blood, the cross, his empowerment. Because of that, the church would be built by Christ worldwide, and it is. Hello to my brothers and sisters in China. Hello to my brothers and sisters in Scandinavia. Hello to my brothers and sisters in Russia, in Estonia, and in Germany, and in Italy, and all around the world. Part of the body of Christ. In 2,000 years, you know, Satan, through the emperor worship of Rome, tried to annihilate the church. Even the emperor Nero, he had a coin that was made. On the coin, you know what it said? The Christian religion is dead. So into godhood, which is Luciferianism, was the emperor, was that emperor worship. And the force of military and the ideology behind all of it, well, they could just unleash massive persecution. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? That's all spiritual warfare. Why do they want to kill the Christians? Why do they want to destroy the Christians? Why wouldn't Christians stand up there in the arena and declare that the emperor is God? Because he's not. He's a man, finite man. Jesus is Lord. Christos is Kyrios. He is Lord. And they would die for that. Still happened around the world in the last, well, 200 years. The sequel to Fox's Book of Martyrs is By Their Blood, bigger. It's going on all around the world right now. Hostility. The critical mass hostility towards God and all that represents God, that manifests God. If you're a believer, you represent God. If you're a believer and the Spirit of God dwells in you, well, you manifest God. If you're obeying the Word of God and living as a believer, you're manifesting God to the world. You're becoming the light of God to the world. If you're witnessing and sharing and praying, if your church is strong in prayer and worship and evangelism, well, you got an enemy. The prince of the power of the air. Your struggle, Ephesians chapter 6, not against flesh and blood, the archai, the cosmocrators, the exousia, the porneus pneumonikai, those are the four categories the Spirit of God lists of the demonic type that battles against the body of Christ, that battles against Christians. That's why in that context, we're to put on the armor of God so that we can manifest, live in the experiential, manifest might and power of God and take our stand. I love what the Spirit of God says to believers in 1 John 2. I write to you, young believers, because you are strong. You've overcome the evil one. And why? Why are they strong? And they've overcome Satan himself because the Word of God lives in them. You see, when you accept Christ, you accept the Word of God. You now reject the lie of Satan. You reject the lies that have been embedded. You now accept the truth of God. You know what the truth of God is? You're lost. You've sinned. The wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God says, I love you. He shows you the cross. He shows you Christ. He shows you the blood of Christ, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the truth of his coming back, the giving of the power of the Spirit of God, and the actual acquisition of salvation. Christ coming in you, breaking Satan's rights over you, breaking the sin code, breaking the death code that leads to hell, and implanting into you a new nature, a new power for living, the gift of eternal life. Oh my goodness. Do you know what salvation you have? Well, I'm telling you now, in this series, we're saying that the critical mass, the closer to the end of days, God says very clearly again and again and again throughout the New Testament that massive deception, number one issue, deception, seduction, false prophets, false teachers, counterfeit signs, wonders, doctrines of demons, spirits, seducing spirits. It's going to be a spiritual, massive, a critical mass is developing. In fulfillment, listen to me, please. In fulfillment to Psalm chapter 2, 3,000 years ago, God speaks about the coming of Armageddon and the end of days. God says, why to the nations, the peoples? The peoples are conspiring. In an emotional rage, they are conspiring. The peoples and the nations and the kings, they take their stand against God and against God's Messiah, Christ. You ever read that? God uses Psalm 2 as even a warning to the kings, political, military leaders of the world right now, and to the nations. Romans 16:25 down, God's will is to bring the good news for nations to repent, turn to Christ, be saved, turn to God. That's God's will for the nations. God's will for the believer is to lead the nations to Christ. Go to the highways and byways. God's got a big agenda. God's got a massive agenda. And by looking at the future in biblical prophecy, God accomplishes his will, getting to the entire world. Christ is going to come back. But that's future. We're here now. Here are the evidences quickly. Evidences of spiritual warfare. Number one, biblical revelation from beginning to end shows us that. Biblical revelation from beginning to end shows us that. Genesis 3, all the way through Scripture, all the way to the very end. Look at Revelation 19 and the Antichrist on the ground. And look at Revelation 20, Satan being bound. And you can look from beginning to end. Because of the fall of the human race, Satan's entrance in, the demonic array that is here, history is littered with a dark presence developing philosophies and religions and all kinds of ideology and leading man astray and deeper and darker into, well, I believe, Luciferic slavery. What's coming? Globalism is Luciferic slavery. So number two, the cross. Jesus, the reason he's coming, why? John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appears is to destroy Satan's work. And that's exactly what he does. That's what all of Scripture. You take a look at Colossians chapter 2, and you're going to find out that by the cross, Jesus makes this spectacle of the whole dark side, the principalities and the powers. He triumphs over them by the cross. Number three, evidence of spiritual war, salvation. The reason you need to get saved, you're lost, Satan has rights over you, sin is in you, and you're hellbound. Salvation is a spiritual thing. You need to be born again. Jesus Christ needs to come into your life, and you need to be born again back into relationship to God. Without that, you're lost forever. Without that, you're still broken in sin. Satan has rights. Only in salvation does Jesus take away Satan's rights and give you his authority, his protection. Number four, well, I've read this in Ephesians 6 already, and I've already said that your battle, your struggle as a believer in Christ, it's not flesh and blood. It's against spiritual powers. It's why we've been given authority in Christ, why we're told to put on the armor of God, why in James 4 we're told to resist the devil, why we are given the warning in 2 Thessalonians 2 about the secret power of lawlessness and the work of Satan, the rise of the Antichrist and counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and the entire book of Revelation. You are on the field to be not only unleashing the grace of God and the love of God, sharing Jesus with everybody, because God loves the world and doesn't want anybody to be lost, but you are to apply the authority of Christ and live free in Jesus. There's a battle, yes. There's a struggle, yes. We have Jesus to defend us. We have the authority of Christ to rebuke the demons and command them out. We have the armor of God to be able to walk in the full armor of God and be protected. We have the Word of God to make us strong. And point number 5, prophetic revelation. Massive biblical prophetic prophecy tells us the ramping up of the dark side. Now I'm going to tell you again, it's going to become so vast, so big, so broad, so wide that it will bring deception to the world. The Antichrist will come. The false prophet will come. There will be Luciferic globalism. Because people that have rejected God still and listen to and believe the lie will open the gates wide. You as a believer in Christ, nothing to worry about. You're to live in the power and the fierce presence of God. That's a sign to the world. You can read about that in Philippians. No fear in the believer. Is a sign you're walking with God and obeying God and experiencing His power and grace and might and His victories. Victory over the world, victory over the flesh, victory over the devil. Listen, we've come to the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, live broadcast on the 30th of May, 2011. Remember us in your prayers, and please remember us in support. God bless. Good night.